Today's scripture will be reading out of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. An angel from the Lord spoke to Philip. At noon, take the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he did. Meanwhile, an Ethiopian man was on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had to come to worship. He was a eunuch and an unofficial responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace is the title given to the Ethiopian queen. He was reading the prophet Isaiah while sitting in his carriage. The Spirit told Philip, "Approach this carriage and stay with it." Running up to the carriage, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you really understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "Without someone to guide me, how could I?" Then he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants because his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water. What would you keep me from being baptized?" He ordered that the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, where Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself in Azotus. He traveled through that area, preaching the good news in all the cities until he reached Caesarea.
This may just be it. This scripture story that Alex read just a bit ago before our song, it might just be my favorite. And if it's not, it's really high on the list. What a beautiful, powerful story. So let's put it in context a bit with a fairly quick summary. There are four primary characters. There's Philip, an angel, the spirit, and a eunuch. Philip, you might recall, was one of the original disciples. And prior to this encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip had led missionary work with the Samaritans, which signaled the beginning of extending God's invitation beyond traditional boundaries of Judaism. Now an angel of the Lord told Philip to reverse course, directing him to take a desert road, no less. And I don't know about you, but I would have not wanted to hear that message. That would be like God saying to us, okay, you all have started this new church, and now that you've got it going, head the other way and start another church. No thanks. But Philip said, yes, and he went. He comes into the presence of a man reading scripture. A man sitting in a chariot. Now, it wasn't just any man. For the writer of Acts is careful to make sure that we understand very clearly the label attached to the man in the chariot. He was a eunuch. And in the ancient community, a eunuch was a castrated male. It could be someone born with an unusual condition. It could be someone who was involuntarily castrated. Or it could be someone's choice. I know, guys, hard to imagine that, huh? But maybe in this case it was a choice, because if a man wanted to increase his chances to live in the palace, he would be castrated. Because eunuchs were trusted with the social functions of the royal household, including serving the women. But it's important for us to keep in context that whether by choice or not, a eunuch was seen and treated as an outsider, as less than, as one who was outside the circle of ancient patriarchy. A eunuch would be publicly humiliated and ostracized religiously. This meant that this eunuch would not be granted access to the temple. And yet here we read he had been to Jerusalem for just that reason. For his heart longed for inclusion in a faith community. So in our story today, the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, which goes like this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb silent before his shearer, so does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Now, as if hearing the reverse course wasn't enough for Philip, seemingly just minding his own business on this desert road, he hears this additional call from God. Hey, Philip. See that eunuch over there in the chariot? Go sit with him. Imagine how Philip must have been feeling now. Come on, God, really? Just how much are you going to ask from me? I headed the other direction like you asked me, and I found myself on a desert road. And now you really expect me to go sit with an outcast of society? A man clearly less than my masculinity. A man who is subservient to women in a household. Why, what will people say or think if they see me sitting in a chariot with that kind of a person? Philip went. Would we? The eunuch asked Philip, "Who is the story in Isaiah about?" Surely he was reading himself into that story of humiliation and injustice. Could this story be about me? He wondered. And then before Philip approached him, I wonder if the eunuch read a few chapters earlier in Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10. "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Perhaps the eunuch would have asked Philip, "Does this mean me too? Me, a castrated male? Me, one who is seen as the weakest of men? God will strengthen me. God will welcome me." You see, the eunuch didn't know much about the scripture stories he was reading because he wasn't allowed to go to the temple. He wasn't religious enough. He wasn't male enough. He wasn't enough. Ooh, this story's starting to feel vaguely familiar. I remember when I sat in the chariot reading scripture. I had been to church all my life, and I had memorized more scripture than some people ever read. But when I was alone, I would reread passages of scripture, you know, things like Genesis 1. And God looked over all God had made, and God said, "It's all good." Me, God? You created me just as I am, and I'm good enough just as I am without changing to what others expect me to be. Like the eunuch, I had left church because the hypocrisy and rejection got the best of me. I was a bit troubled by it all, and I was reading in that chariot how the world defined me didn't matter. From John 14:27, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Enroll in seminary. Pursue ordination. Anyway, you're with me, God, all the time. In spite of what the world thinks of me, you'll stand by me and give me peace." Is it just me this morning, or have you ever found yourself embedded in this story of the eunuch? Not good enough. Not high society enough. Not educated enough. Not fitting into the expectations because you aren't rich enough or smart enough or white enough or straight enough or mainstream enough. As today's beautiful story continues, Philip shares the gospel message he knows about. He tells the eunuch about Jesus, this teaching, prophetic rabbi who welcomed everyone into God's fold. Lepers and tax collectors, women and children, folks of different religions or no religion, and eunuchs. Oh, I'm envious of how that moment played out with the two of them in the chariot. I imagine myself sitting in that chariot listening to story after story of how Philip witnessed Jesus turning the world on its head with his healing and radical inclusion and abundant love and mercy and grace. For Philip could do more than read the story with the eunuch. Philip lived the story with Jesus. Evidently, somewhere in the conversation, they talked about followers of Jesus, and Philip must have shared that many were participating in the ritual of baptism, so that others would know of their intention to follow in Jesus' example. It's this next part of the story. This next part of the story that brings tears to my eyes. As they were going along in the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" As they traveled alongside one another in the chariot, the eunuch began to sense his inclusion in God's grace and mercy. As he began to embrace God's forgiveness and love, he saw some water. Remember now, they were in the desert. Funny how in impossible situations, God finds a way to become present with us.
In the desert.
Not to mention the eunuch was from the wrong nation, held the wrong job, possessed the wrong sexuality. Nevertheless, the newly accepted and affirmed eunuch is bold enough, even in his exclusion and in the midst of questions about what all this God stuff was about, he is bold enough to ask the question, "Is that water for me too? Can I be baptized?" The chariot stopped. Philip and the unnamed eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
Wow. Wow.
We don't know how much water there was, what words Philip used, whether he splashed him on the head a bit or dunked him one, two, or three times. There wasn't any mention of anyone else around him but the two of them. Indeed, a very private moment. Sort of solidifies that whole wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there, huh? But when they came up out of the water, either from immersion or waiting after a good sprinkle, Philip disappears. And the eunuch, now all by himself, well, the story says he went on his way rejoicing. Does anyone here remember the show Dragnet? Remember the opening line of this black and white sitcom? At the beginning of the show, the announcer would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent." Let me borrow a bit from this announcer. Brothers and sisters, these emails I share with you this morning are true. They have been sent to me. I get them on a regular basis. Out of respect of confidentiality, I will paraphrase and change names or personal information. It is, however, safe to say that all of them felt akin to the eunuch in our story. On the outside looking in. Reverend Charles, my name is Mark, and I'm from somewhere, Kentucky. I was researching gay-affirming churches in the area, and I found a particular interest in your church and, furthermore, your story. I'm currently very involved in the church where I've been a member since I was 12. But unfortunately, I'm ashamed to admit that the only reason I've stayed there is because our previous music director and my mentor committed suicide, leaving me to fill his shoes. I've grown so much as a person, and I'm now in a relationship with my partner. My church doesn't know. We're both in the same position, looking for a place to be accepted for who we are and a place to serve. It seems like your church could possibly be that place. Could it? My name is Samantha, and I live in somewhere, Kentucky. I've lived here for about 8 years or so with my partner. I grew up going to United Church of Christ Church in Iowa. And I have to admit to you, I haven't been to church in quite some time. Probably close to 20 years. My partner didn't believe in God at all. And over the years, I have to say, I've really had my doubts. My partner was diagnosed with a serious heart condition about 5 years ago and died a couple of months ago. And taking care of her, she became my entire world. And now I find I don't really know anyone. I need to get out and meet people. And it was suggested that going to church might help me. I have to admit I do miss church in some ways, but I also have to admit that I'm still a skeptic. Would it be wrong of me to attend church? Am I being a hypocrite because I'm not sure what or if I believe? I have to say, I really do wish I could believe again. It's just that so much has happened to me over the years. It's been really hard. I looked up churches online, and your church, I have to say, looked like the best one that would accept me and closest to how I was raised. Would you think differently of me since I'm not a wholehearted believer if I just came to your services? I'll stop going on and on now. Thank you for your time and for listening to this stranger. I appreciate it. But please tell me, is there hope for someone like me? Here's another email. I grew up in Lexington all my life, going to Christian school and church every time the doors were open. I decided a while ago that church wasn't for me anymore. But recently I've been thinking I would like to give it a shot again. I heard you at a wedding and thought you were not crazy. Sorry, I've met my fair share of crazy preachers. I've been thinking about giving church another try. I'm black. And while I really like the music in black churches, I don't agree at all with what they preach. And even more so, what they practice. To make a long story short, I just wanted to know if I came on a Sunday, could I just sit in the back row and see how I like being back in church? I mean, can I really begin to think again that church is a place for me? And finally, one more. Pastor Marsha, I've heard about your church, and while I've never heard of your denomination, I've done some research online. I've also looked at your website and even visited your Facebook page. It seems like you all might be on to something. I'm all for welcoming everyone, and it looks like you all have a good mix of people. But you see what I struggle with? I don't know. I'm addicted to drugs. And I haven't always made good decisions. But I long for a place where I can think clearly about spirituality without a lot of rhetoric and pressure. Would I be welcome at church to just try to find my way back? I wonder, do we come here this morning with any eunuch questions? Does God understand us when we don't understand ourselves? When we don't know what to pray for and we've seemed to lost our way? Does God hear us? Does God hear us when we cry out with despair from a seemingly hopeless situation? With rejection from church or society or family? With tears from a broken heart? With anxiety from awaiting test results? Does God understand our worry from under or unemployment or financial uncertainty? Does God hear us when we have fear from unknown futures of ourselves or our loved ones? Or the what ifs or how comes or who shoulda, coulda, woulda of relationships? Does God hear us when we cry out? The answer to all of these questions, my friends, is yes. Yes, to those who wonder if the affirming and inclusive love of God is speaking to them. Yes, to those who wonder if church can feel like home, either for the first time or after many years of wondering. Yes, to me, to you, to them, to all of us eunuchs. Yes, yes, God says. You are mine. And you and you and you and you and them, all of us. When we ask the question, can we be part of God's family? Can God possibly use my life? When we see waters, my brothers and sisters, when we see water on the desert road in the deserts of our life, water which in Scripture represents new life, do we dare ask, is that water for me too? Dare we ask it? What prevents me from following God's call for my life? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I might just commence to rejoice in some myself. Amen.